The Jets need a quarterback. The Jets need an offensive coordinator. What else do they need? We're talking biggest Jets offseason needs today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Tuesday, January 24th, 2023, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button where you are watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give the show a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help the channel out and help other Jets fans find the podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Well, of course, the Jets are looking for a new offensive coordinator. The search is ongoing. We still don't have a hire at this point, at least at the time we are recording this podcast. We will see. There are all sorts of different reports. Some people say Nathaniel Hackett is the favorite, the former Broncos head coach. Others are saying, you know, some other guys may be in the mix, perhaps somebody from the Eagles coaching staff. We don't know. The Jets are also looking for a quarterback. And now there are all sorts of rumors about maybe Aaron Rodgers being on the move. Maybe there's talk about somebody else, a Derek Carr, who could be available. And we will talk about these storylines plenty in the days and weeks ahead. But I wanted to change the discussion today because we've been spending a lot of time already talking about quarterback. We've been spending a lot of time already talking about offensive coordinator. And as we move into the offseason, I wanted to talk about some of the Jets' other needs. And on today's show, I'm talking about the biggest needs the Jets have other than, you know, getting a new coordinator and getting a new quarterback. And if you've been a longtime listener to the show, you know that while I think positional needs matter, I'm just as focused on filling certain roles on the team. And there are certain roles that can be filled by players at different positions. You know, you can have a different position fill the same role. And that's really going to be my focus on this episode. And I'm going to begin by talking about the offensive side of the ball. And I think, really, I would say almost above all else, once we get outside the quarterback discussion and get outside the offensive coordinator discussion, and some people may disagree with this, I think the Jets have got to look this offseason to add another guy who I'd consider a big-time playmaker. Now, the Jets are in a much better position than they were this time a year ago. They're in a much better position than they were this time 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, because pending the recovery of Breece Hall, and you certainly hope it's going to be okay, and coming off a knee injury, you know, even when a guy's cleared to return to the field, sometimes it takes a little while for him to get back to being himself. It sounds like the Jets are expecting Breece Hall to be Breece Hall again at some point. Will he be the same explosive player he was at the beginning of 2023? We don't know yet. But assuming Breece Hall comes back in his full strength, you've got Breece Hall and you've got Garrett Wilson. And these two really were never great at the same point. They both had great rookie seasons, but they were great at different points. We began with Garrett Wilson having a phenomenal week two performance against the Cleveland Browns. Breece Hall came on a few weeks later. I think Breece Hall's breakout game, you could argue, was the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers where the Jets came back and won. They overcame a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter, and Breece scored the game-winning touchdown. And I remember on that post-game podcast, I talked about how it was a sign that Breece was gaining their trust. In fact, they gave him the ball with the game on the line. That was the beginning of something big because the next 3 weeks, Breece Hall was maybe the dominant back in the NFL, just a guy who carried the Jets on his back. And partially for that reason, the running game took center stage and Garrett Wilson kind of fell to the background. And part of it was in this stretch, Garrett Wilson had drawn a lot of attention for his performance against the Browns, and he drew some tough assignments. Tough assignment in Green Bay, Jaire Alexander. Tough assignment in Denver, Patrick Surtain Jr. So Breece Hall took over. Garrett Wilson was not as involved. Well, Breece Hall, of course, suffered that injury in Denver, and from that point forward, it was essentially Garrett Wilson's offense. He became the go-to guy. So, hey, it's not a bad situation when you got two go-to guys on your offense, but I think you got to keep adding. I mean, and you know, the examples I use, and the most prominent example right now is the San Francisco 49ers, where they have arguably four guys on their offense you could say have the ability of a go-to guy. It just makes your life easier. And I think when the Jets get Breece back next year, it's going to be tough for opponents because on the one hand, you have to stop the passing game and Garrett Wilson. So it's tough to leave a corner one-on-one against him, especially with the unconventional route running he has, his ability to get open. But you also want to commit to the run because you're going to have Breece Hall in this backfield. It's not going to be easy, but you want to keep adding players. And I think part of the reason you want to keep adding, again, is that example in San Francisco where they've been able to have success this year, even with a guy who was a rookie who was drafted in the seventh round, a guy who, if you watched Sunday's game and if you've been watching him, not a finished a guy who's playing well, a guy who's beating all expectations, but not a guy who is a finished product at this point, and not a guy who's really dominating out there, but they're able to make it work because they have so many weapons around him. And if you look at this offseason, and I'm going to assume the Jets are not getting Aaron Rodgers again, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot in the days ahead, but looking at the situation for the Jets, I think it's unlikely that they're going to have an MVP-level quarterback on this team. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think the best-case scenario would be somebody who's average to maybe a little bit above average playing quarterback for the Jets next year. And if you don't have a quarterback who can lift your team up, then you got to build a team that can lift up the quarterback. How do you do that? You put as many weapons as possible around him. And one of the ideas that I really dislike that sometimes I hear is, well, we have bigger needs than this. There's no bigger need than building a dominant unit on your football team. Too often in the offseason, I think, we look at a team and we talk about how they're going to build during the offseason, and our only focus is on making weaknesses stronger. Well, there's another way to improve in this league, and that's making strengths stronger. And if you have something that's a strength, if you have two go-to guys, well, what's wrong with having a third? Because it just makes life more difficult on the defense. If the Jets can get another receiver in here, well, then who's the number one corner on the other team going to cover? It means either Garrett Wilson or that receiver is going to draw the number two corner on the opposing team. A tight end's going to be tougher to do. Listen, there are only a handful of tight ends in this league, and listen, if you look at what the Jets have at tight end, I don't care that they've spent a lot of money. I don't care that they take up a lot of cap. I don't even care that they drafted Jeremy Ruckert last year. If the Jets could add a tight end, they should do it because the Jets' tight ends are not any good. But it'll be easier said than done, but I think if it's possible, it's something they should look to do. And out of the backfield, I mean, it might be tough. I'm not sure I dedicate premium resources to the backfield when you've got a Breece Hall, but there are only so many backs in the league who make a genuine difference. The Jets have one of them. So it's not a bad situation. It's just, I think if you keep adding, because the Jets are not going to have a quarterback who's going to be able to make a difference. And if it's, a fallback option, and I guess the ultimate fallback option for me would be a Jacoby Brissett, who's, in my view, more of a high-end backup, a guy who's maybe at best a spot starter in this league, a guy who's a low-level starter. If you need to go with him for 17 games, you're really going to have to focus on lifting him up. Because there are certain things he just takes off the table as far as playmaking goes. So it's really got to be the focus. And I think it's especially true. Now, if the Jets go out and get a bigger name quarterback, in part, they won't be as pressing because you'll have a quarterback who can lift the team up again. I'm not expecting that. But it also will be tougher because the quarterback will be taking up a bigger piece of the salary cap. But either way, I think the Jets really, I don't look at this offense and say, we're set at the skill positions. Are the skill positions the most glaring issue with the team? No. But it's not just about glaring issues. It's about creating a team that imposes matchup problems on the opposition. And the only way the Jets are going to keep doing that is that they keep adding to this offense. You look across the league, the great offenses, they never stop adding playmakers. And sometimes, sometimes they're not the go-to guys. Sometimes they're more role players. Sometimes they're more guys who are complementary parts, but they never stop adding. I think the Jets should focus on trying to add another go-to guy, and if they can't, then keep adding role players, keep adding complementary parts. Because once you get past Garrett, once you get past Breece, there are some guys who could be decent, but guys who are pretty big question marks. Now, head here on the Locked On Jets podcast, I'll continue my talk about what I think the Jets need this offseason, and I'm going to go to a place that I don't think will be that controversial. It's been one of Joe Douglas's focuses, but it still needs work, and that's the offensive line. That's as we continue this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, unfortunately, for a 12th straight year. They're here without the Jets, but we're still really excited about our new sports betting partner here at Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America. That's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you could combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Thank you again for making Locked On Jets your first listener, first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today we're talking Jets needs, and we're not including quarterback. We're not including offensive coordinator. We're talking about some of the needs that go beyond the obvious ones, beyond the big ones that are out there for the New York Jets. And I think if we're talking needs, we got to be honest, it's got to be the offensive line. And I think if you looked at this Jets season, you know, there were some bad breaks on the offensive line. All the injuries happened on the offensive line. I'm not sure that they happened at the rate the Jets suffered them. And it's not just the fact you have to play backups when guys go down. It's the lack of chemistry. When somebody's getting hurt every week and you have to reshuffle the offensive line, even, you know, forcing guys to change positions, you never develop chemistry or continuity. You look at some of the areas where the Jets really struggled, where they struggled with blitz pickups, where they struggled with passing guys off on stunts. These are pretty obviously issues that chemistry at least has some role in. Now, I don't want to take away from the caliber of players because, you know, when you're playing backups, there are also issues talent-wise. And beyond that, if we're going to be honest, the Jets have made some moves that just simply have not worked out the way they've expected them to. And some of it's bad luck, but, you know, ultimately, I think you have to look at this, to be fair, and say, while the Jets have had some bad luck on the offensive line, for the amount of resources Joe Douglas has thrown at the offensive line, the results just are not good enough. And it's not to say Douglas has failed at everything. And I like the fact that his focus has been the offensive line. I think that was a refreshing change of pace from a GM who really could not care less about the offensive line than Mike Maccagnan. I've been saying it for years. I think Douglas's plan is pretty good in broad strokes, but just as important as having the plan, and that is important. I don't think Maccagnan ever had the plan, but just as important as having the plan, it's executing it effectively. And while I think on paper, a lot of the moves made sense at the time they were made, they just have not worked out. You know, Laken Tomlinson, a signing that I thought was good at the time last year, you know, didn't work out. And, you look at some of the other spots the Jets have had issues, at the tackle position, Mekhi Becton. And we talked about this in 2020. When the Jets drafted Mekhi Becton, that was swinging for the fences. There was a much safer pick there in Tristan Wirfs. And I said this at the time, so it's not like I'm second guessing. Jets swung for the fences and kind of missed. And, you know, part of that's a little bit of bad luck with Becton because he's had a lot of injuries. But part of it's, you know, there was a guy who was there who maybe did not have as high of a ceiling as Becton, but a guy who seemed like on paper to be a better bet in Tristan Wirfs. And Tristan Wirfs has had an excellent career. And Becton's just been, unfortunately, a guy who's had a tough time staying on the field. You look at some of the other moves. George Fant, he had a good one out of three seasons have been good, but I don't think you can look back on that and say that that was a great signing. Listen, I like George Fant a lot. He was a great guest on my podcast not that long ago, but I don't think it ended up being that great of a signing for the Jets. So, and you can go through this. Now, the Elijah Vera Tucker move, I think that trade up looks like it's paid dividends. Connor McGovern, you know, really solid center, guy who stabilized the center position. Got off to a bit of a rough start that first half of his first season, but ever since then, been rock solid at center. And I don't really know why the Jets haven't tried to extend him, because when we talk about needs on the offensive line, you have to include center right now, because Connor McGovern's not signed for next year, so you can't count on him. So with all the issues the Jets have on the offensive line, you know, Connor McGovern's they're another problem, at least unless they sign him, because they either have to sign him or they have to replace him, and that's not going to be easy. And I think you have to hope Laken Tomlinson bounces back next season, but this offensive line is just not good enough. And I don't think it's fair to look at the line and say this is why Zach Wilson failed, but it certainly didn't help matters. When you have a quarterback as shaky under pressure as Zach Wilson's been in his career, you'd like him to not be under pressure as frequently as he was. And again, I'm not saying that this is the reason Zach Wilson appears to be on the outs for the Jets, but it's not something that helped. And, you know, especially after Breece Hall went down, you saw the run game was not nearly as effective. Breece Hall's the kind of back who can probably get you anything you need, even when the blocking's not there. But again, there are not many backs like that in the NFL. And you'd think that coming back, at the very least early in the season, the Jets may be cautious with Breece. They may keep him on a pitch count as he recovers from that knee injury that ended his season. So, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the offensive line. Now, again, part of this, I think, is you just need better luck. You don't need, you know, 8-9 different offensive line alignments through the course of the season. It would be nice if everybody was in camp together and everybody was able to work through the entire training camp. The Jets, you know, the Jets' original offensive line from training camp never even played a snap together because Becton got hurt. So that was a bit of a tough break. But, you know, there's a lot of question marks on this offensive line. You know, there are spots. I mean, you look at the five spots the Jets have. The only one that I feel confident in saying is going to be back at a specific position is left guard Laken Tomlinson. And we don't know what we're getting from him. Now, I think the second guy we know is going to be back is Elijah Vera Tucker, but he can play one of three spots. He could be the left tackle, he could be the right guard, he could be the right tackle. I think in an ideal world, maybe you'd like him to play guard. Maybe that's where he's a little bit of a better fit. But looking at the Jets' needs, you know, it's going to be tough to fill two tackle spots. And they have two tackle spots that are enormous question marks because Fant's a free agent. Dwayne Brown, I mean, I don't know how much football Dwayne Brown has left in him. I think the Jets may have squeezed the last bit of football Dwayne Brown had left in him. It was an okay season. It wasn't a great season. Dwayne Brown is clearly not the player he used to be. And Becton, I don't know how you can go into the season and count on Becton. I think you bring Becton back and maybe he's a backup. And maybe if you need to get through a couple games, he can give you that. But I think it would be very ill-advised to expect Becton to play 17 games because he hasn't made it through a full game in it'll be three calendar years almost by the time the season kicks off. He's almost two entire seasons, essentially. So lots of question marks. And it's not going to be an easy task for the New York Jets because they don't have a ton of cap space, and some of it's going to have to be used addressing quarterback and addressing some of the other needs we're talking about. So a really tough spot for the Jets. You know, some bad luck, but also, if we're going to be honest, a lot of these moves Joe Douglas has made, while Joe Douglas is focused on the offensive line, the moves just haven't been good enough. They just haven't worked out. And again, you know, at the time I said a lot of them made sense, but, you know, sometimes I'm wrong too. Sometimes you think moves made sense, and then you look back and you say, you know what, maybe that wasn't as smart as I thought it was at the time. And that's kind of where we're at right now with the Jets on the offensive line. Now, here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll talk about the dominant side of the ball for this team. That's the defense. This defense does not need a whole lot, but I can think of one area where the Jets could stand to improve. It's the type of thing that could maybe take the defense to the next level, make it one of the top three defenses in the NFL. And I'll tell you what that is as we continue this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Tuesday. We're talking about Jets needs. And let's be honest, most of the needs the Jets have are on the offensive side of the ball. There's the obvious quarterback. Talked about the need to add another dynamic skill player. We've talked about the need to upgrade the offensive line. Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. Defense was really good this year for the Jets. In fact, I would even argue a lot of people are underrating the defense because of the way the season ended. And I think that there's unfortunately this tendency to maybe blame both sides equally, blame both the offense and the defense equally for their failures. And I'm not going to tell you the defense played perfectly down the stretch, but if you look at the entirety of the season, this was an excellent defensive unit. I do think, however, there's one extra thing the defense can add. And it goes, there are a couple things. I mean, listen, you could always use another pass rusher, and I think the Jets could use a top-notch guy off the edge to pair with Quinnen Williams on the inside. And, you know, you got John Franklin Myers in the mix. You got some guys there. But I think one more edge rusher would complete the defensive line. But I don't think that's as pressing of a need because you still have really good players, including a guy who'd become a superstar in Quinnen Williams. You know you're good at corner. I don't think there's any question the Jets are good at corner. In fact, I would say of all the positions this offseason, there's really only one where you completely rule out making a big move. And I'm talking, you know, big money free agent. I'm talking about an early draft pick. There's only one I'd completely rule out. Because even in spots you're decent, you can always use an upgrade. But the one spot you got to rule it out is corner. Because Jets could not be better with Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, Michael Carter II on the inside. You're set there. There should be no no expense, no major expense at corner. You want to draft a guy day three as a developmental guy's depth, fine. Outside of that, don't touch corner. The spot the Jets could use some help is in the middle of the field. And this goes back to what I was saying, because at the beginning of the show I told you that I'm not focused on positions as much as I am roles. And what I think the Jets need, it could come from either the linebacker position or the safety position. But they need a guy, just a rangy guy who covers a ton of ground, a guy who plays all over the field, a guy who can make tackles, and a guy who could match up with running backs and tight ends. Because that's the weak spot of this defense. And again, it could be a linebacker, it could be a safety. But those were the two weak links. You know, C.J. Mosley may have been second team All-Pro. C.J. Mosley may have been a Pro Bowler. I don't think C.J. Mosley was awful this year. I think C.J. Mosley had his moment. Now, it's bad moments, too, like, you know, leaping over the line in Buffalo or game against the Patriots in the Meadowlands where they kept targeting him on third downs on crossing with crossing routes over the middle and got exposed him. He wasn't terrible, but listen, he was a Pro Bowler and he was an All-Pro in name only. Quincy Williams is Quincy Williams. He's not a bad player. He was an excellent pickup off the waiver wire for the Jets. Excellent. You know, you usually get a guy off the waiver wire, he gives you a zero. You know, he's a bench player. If he gets on the field, he gets exposed. Quincy Williams, you know, he obviously hits hard. He makes big plays. He's also pretty inconsistent. Sometimes he runs himself out of place. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out for Quincy Williams. Quan Alexander, I think, decent, you know, part-time player. And then the safeties. Safeties had their moments. They had a couple decent games, but over the course of the long season, I think they got exposed, both Jordan Whitehead and LaMarcus Joyner. Joyner, I don't think, will be back. Whitehead could be back. I don't love Whitehead being back, though. I think he was a guy who was not going to go down as a great free agent signing for the Jets. So I think on this defensive side of the ball, they need one of those. They need somebody at either spot. And, you know, the good thing is that this is typically a spot where you can find somebody maybe on day two of the draft. You know, the positions that are considered premium positions usually go early, but you can find difference makers, and it's not easier said than done, of course. I'm saying you can do it. It's not like it's the easiest thing in the world, but you can find guys who can step in, plug and play guys on day two of the draft at safety and at linebacker. And when you add that to the pass rush the Jets have, which is an excellent pass rush, again, anchored by Quinnen and Williams, who just had a breakout season, and you hope he maintains that level of play. You hope he doesn't take a step back. But you got corners who are locked down on the outside. Where the Jets can be exposed again is the middle of the field. You saw plenty this year. They got guys in space. They got running backs. They got tight ends. And it was a struggle to cover these guys. But beyond that, you also want guys, you know, what I call an eraser. Somebody at the back of the defense where if somebody messes up, you got the range to go and tackle that guy and turn a bad play from turning into a catastrophe. And that's one of those things Marcus May and Jamal Adams were really good at. And it's unfortunate for the Jets that because if you had Marcus May and Jamal Adams to last year's defense, that may have been the best defense in the NFL. Now, of course, you put Jamal Adams back on this team, then you have to take Elijah Vera Tucker and Garrett Wilson off because those are the players the Jets drafted with the picks they got for Adams. So not saying in, you know, the cap changes because Jamal Adams would have had to been paid, so would have Marcus May, but you need that type of play. And it could be, again, it could be a linebacker maybe, it could be safeties, but I think it's something that the Jets really need if they want to take this defense to the next level. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give the show a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help the channel out and help other Jets fans find the podcast. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Send in your mailbag questions. Tomorrow we'll have our weekly mailbag. You know, unless the Jets hire a new offensive coordinator, there's some major news. But send in your mailbag questions. We'll get to a mailbag at some point this week, probably tomorrow.